Chairman and the Missouri Senate, please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, Pastor Gock, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
From the 26th chapter of Isaiah, we hear, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." O God, we place our confidence in you ending this week, knowing we have tried to be faithful to you, and that all that we have done, even our failures, are in your gracious, forgiving hands. We commit ourselves to you, for you have told us that today, as yesterday, is a day of mercy and grace. May we therefore travel home to our loved ones, free to walk at their side as you have walked at ours. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Lawson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the ninth. A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session.
Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been
you
fully read.
You heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion, it shall prevail. Say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I think a lot of us are being visited by our county commissioners. They're here for training. And I do want to make note that, as you can tell, the Senate is in session, whereas the House is not. So, county commissioners, please make note that the Senate is working. Gosh, we were here till what, 1:15 this morning, and our House colleagues are home, I guess. Anyway, I've got three counties that are represented here today, and if they would stand, I'd like to introduce some county commissioners from Vernon County, Neil Gerster, Bonnie McCord, and Kenan Shaw. From Johnson County, Destry Huff, Bill Gable, and Scott Sater. And then from Bates County, Larry Berry, Randy Pike, and Donna Gregory. So if the body would make
Let's
them welcome
all the guests of the Senator from Johnson and all the county commissioners from across the state who are with us today. Senator from Green.
Mr. President, I had a pleasant surprise. Just was greeted by former Senator Roseanne Bentley from the 30th District, Springfield, and she's on your right and my left. If she'd stand, we're thrilled to have her with us today. I'd ask the body to make Senator Bentley feel welcome.
Delighted to have Senator Bentley with us here today. Senator from Polk.
Mr. President, introduction of special guest. Mr. President, today this special guest that I get to introduce is actually a special guest of the state of Missouri. And she comes from my hometown, or close to my home district in El Dorado Springs, and she is the Miss Missouri for this year to represent our state. And I actually met this young lady when I was a freshman legislator. She came into my office as a DECA student in a very professional manner, in a professional suit, and asked some good questions when I was a young freshman senator. And it is such an honor and privilege to know her family, and for what she's done for our district and what she's done for the state of Missouri. And I'm so proud of her and her accomplishments, seeing her grow up. And to be here today, to be honored on this Senate floor, means a great deal to me. Now, I would say this in closing. The senator from the 15th this morning, when he walked in and seen this young lady in the red dress, she said it was much better coming in this morning seeing her than it was seeing me at 2 o'clock last night leaving. I don't know what he meant by that. But anyhow, that's what he said on that. But, Mr. President, I would like to present her with a copy of a resolution and honor her for being Miss Missouri in the state of Missouri.
Well, first, let's welcome the very special guest, Miss Missouri, to the Missouri Senate. And, Senator, you're going to present your resolution, right? Introduction of guests. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've got a couple special guests here today. First, I am very proud to have the doctor of the day, Dr. Ted Groshong. He is a children's kidney specialist at Children's Hospital in Columbia. He's also the senior associate dean for alumni affairs. Again, our doctor of the day. I'd ask the body to make him feel welcome. He's right here to my right.
We're delighted to welcome the doctor of the day, Dr. Groshong.
Also, Mr. President, along with many of our fine county commissioners here today, I have two of my county commissioners from Boone County. I have Dan Etwell and Karen Miller. They are right over here to my right, your left, and I'd ask the body to make them feel welcome.
Let's welcome the guests of the senator from Boone to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Saline.
I also would like to recognize county commissioners. I think I've got some from several counties up here behind me. I would like the body to make them feel welcome.
Let's welcome the guests of the senator from Saline to the Missouri Senate. Senator from 23rd.
My special guest is actually my intern for this year. Got some help in the office. She's on my left. Her name is Matilda Gray. She's a student at the University of Missouri. Ask my colleagues to please give her a warm welcome.
Will the guest of the senator from 23rd please rise for welcome by the Missouri Senate? Oh, she's standing. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a special guest here, and actually it's also a special guest of the Senator from Dade, a gentleman that needs no introduction and has his wonderful wife with him. You probably remember Senator Nodler and his wife, Jauncey, who are with us here on the lower gallery of the Senate, and remember the incident where we have Pi Day here in the state capitol, and the former senator always enjoyed his pies and food and collected just about every variety that he could out in the hallway. And one of the senators on the gallery asked him, said, is there any pie that you don't like, Senator? And without hesitation, he replied, humble pie. So if you would welcome the former senator from Jasper and his lovely wife, Jauncey, to the Missouri Senate.
We're delighted to welcome Senator Nodler back. Senator from Lewis.
Yes, Mr. President. I also have some commissioners. The only ones I see in the chamber with us today are from Clark County, and they're sitting up here in the upper gallery, and I spent a lot of time with them this last spring during the floods that we had. This last spring, all the eyes were turned to southeast Missouri, southwest Missouri at the tornado, and then into northwest Missouri. But we did experience some difficulties in northeast Missouri, and these commissioners worked very hard, and I worked alongside them to get what we needed to actually save a town. And I would like the body to make them, if they would stand, make them feel welcome. I'd sure appreciate it, Mr.
President. We're delighted to welcome the guests of the senator from Lewis to the Missouri Senate. Please rise. Senator from Christian.
Introduction of special guests, Mr. President.
Sir, we're on that order of business.
I would like also to recognize former Senator Roseanne Bentley from the County of Greene, and standing next to her in the white hair over there is my Christian County presiding commissioner, Lou LaPaglia. I'd like to welcome him today.
We're delighted to welcome those guests to the Missouri Senate. Introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 738, introduced by Senator Stouffer, an act relating to mountain lions.
Senator?
Mr. President, we've had more sightings and more mountain lions killed in my district, I think, than any other. This just allows a no-fault elimination. We're told by the Conservation Department these are young males that have been crowded out of their territory, rather than people having to make up an excuse why they shot the mountain lion. This just allows them to take care of their, protect themselves. Thank you.
Senator from the fourth.
Oh.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 739, introduced by Senator Kevany, an act relating to administrative child support decisions.
Senator.
Mr. President, this just allows for the efficient means of quickly correcting obvious mistakes in child support decisions.
Senator from Johnson.
President, I have a bill.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill 740, introduced by Senator Pierce, an act relating to aviation.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. That is an act relating to aviation.
Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Didn't stand up.
Senate Bill 741, introduced by Senator Parson. An act relating to independent audits of certain federal seizures by law enforcement agencies that use the federal forfeiture system.
Senator?
No explanation needed, Mr. President.
Senator from Phelps.
And I have two bills.
Send them forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 742, introduced by Senator Brown, an act relating to the credentialing and payment of health care practitioners by health insurers.
Senator.
Explanation needed.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 743, introduced by Senator Brown, an act relating to protective headgear for operation of motorcycles and motor tricycles.
No explanation needed.
Yes, for bills, Mr. President. I have bills. One bill.
Send your bill forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 744, introduced by Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to security within the state capitol.
Senator?
Basically self-explanatory, Mr. President. It has to do with installation of cameras in hallways of the Capitol.
Further introduction of bill. Senator from the first.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send your bill forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 745, introduced by Senator Lemke, an act relating to alternatives to abortion agencies.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill would further codify in statute individuals' right to assemble, to right to free speech, and right to practice their religion. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from St. Francois.
Mr. President, may I inquire of you?
Of me?
Of you?
State your inquiry, Senator.
Mr. President, I was going to inquire why you were still in the chair for so long, but it has suddenly become apparent. Thank you,
Senator. Thank you, Senator. Introduction of bills. The Senator from Boone.
Bills, they do not require any.
Send your bills forward, sir. Read the first bill.
That's Senate Bill 746, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to the extension of certain county taxes. Senate Bill 747, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to the University of Missouri Board of Curators.
We'll be cheering you on.
Senator from Phelps.
I have one more bill, Mr. President.
One more bill. Send it forward and read the one more bill.
Senate Bill 748, introduced by Senator Brown, an act relating to the tax credit for wood energy procedures.
No explanation needed.
Senator from 24th.
Then I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 749, introduced by Senator Lamping, an act relating to the protection of the religious beliefs and moral convictions of certain persons and entities.
Mr. President, January 20th, this imperious Obama administration put forward the most anti-Catholic public policy since the 1875 Blaine Amendment swept this country. For someone who claims to be a student of the Constitution, he seemingly has no understanding of the First Amendment and the religious freedoms protected therein. What this bill will do, when it becomes law, is it will defend the rights of both employees and employers to protect their religious freedom. In addition, it will compel the Attorney General of Missouri to defend the rights of those employers and employees. And I ask today for all the Catholics in Missouri, for all the believers in the Constitution and the First Amendment, for all those who understand the importance of religious freedom, and for all those who constantly, time after time, demand the right to choose, to come behind and rally in support of this bill to protect the religious freedoms that we all know we understand they have to be. So, Mr. President, thank you for the time.
Introduction of bills. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Photographers from KRCG-TV and Missouri News Horizon have been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today. Without objection, Mr. President, Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. The Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have committee reports from your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments. Copies have been distributed.
Send them forward,
on
sir.
The desk, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
The reading is waived.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request unanimous consent of the Senate to take up this list at one time.
You, Senator, may the chair inquire of you?
Yes,
you may. Do you have separate committee reports from the same committee consisting of one large list and then three or four others?
Yes, Mr. President, the senators have on their desk a list of gubernatorial appointments that up to this point have not do not have any controversy or contention involved in their appointments. So they are the ones that I would like to take up first, if I may, if we could do those all in one motion. That would be my request.
And you've heard the unanimous consent request of the senator from Stoddard. Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from the first.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire of the senator from Stoddard?
Does the senator yield?
Yes.
He yields. You may inquire.
Thank you for the inquiry, Senator. I just want to make sure the body knows which list we're looking at. At the top, it's approved on February 1st, the long list.
Yeah, the long list, the following appointments were approved. Well, they all were approved on February 1st, 2012, but the one that we are on right now, the motion pertains to this list that has, I don't know how many are there. But
starts with Dennis Wood and ends
starts with
James
Dennis
Avery.
Wood, a Republican, and ends with James Avery, a Republican.
Okay, thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from Jefferson?
Can I inquire of the senator from Stoddard?
Does the senator yield?
Yes.
Proceed.
Senator, I want to make sure we don't do anything. I guess my question is, did you talk to the governor's staff, and can we expect a message from him regarding former Senator Steve Stoll?
Yes, I did talk with the governor's aides just a few moments ago before I stepped in here the second time, and they should be sending a message to the dais requesting that the appointment of Steve Stoll be withdrawn.
So then we'll approve the long list, maybe read in the senator from Howell's report, go to a third reading on that bill before we go to those other senators that we've separated out individually. Is that the plan?
That is my understanding of how the floor leader wants to proceed, that we'll take up these appointments that up to this point have not drawn any controversy or concern among anyone here in the Senate body. And then I believe the senator from the 23rd wants to third read a bill from the senator from Buchanan. And then we have some other appointments that people
that we plan on going to
about
later on.
Yes. And there are two other appointments that the governor has asked or will be asking that be withdrawn. And there are two appointments from Northwest Missouri that the senator from Andrew had some issues with. And I understand now that's been resolved.
I was talking last night that the second floor has frustrated me very much on this process with my particular person. It seems like everything's got to be hard. Now, I talked to the staff last night when we left at 1 in the morning, and there was supposed to be a message to the Secretary of the Senate by the time we even got here this morning. And here we are at 10:30, and they still don't have a simple letter that we could read instead of me having have my hair turn your color by the time this process is all over. But
I understand that, Senator, and I believe you know my position on this appointment, and we worked through it in the Gubernatorial Appointments Committee. It's always been my desire, if we could, if there was not any objection from other members of this body, to work to get Mr. Stoll's appointment done.
And I appreciate your help and guidance through this. It's just a frustration that I just find around this Capitol that everything's got to be hard when things don't have to be so hard.
Well, I know the governor's office came to us just about 15 minutes ago and said that was their desire to withdraw. And we were making the assumption that was going to be the case. Of course, like you, I would like to have seen it happen much sooner. But it was my intent, with the help of other senators and the senator from the 23rd, not to adjourn today until we for certain
I think 33 other senators are jealous of you because we never get to talk to the governor's office. So thank you, Mr. President.
I don't know if you need to be jealous, but
does the senator from 13th
to inquire the senator from Stoddard?
Does the senator yield?
Yes.
Proceed.
Senator, on that same notion, this morning I was reading the newspaper, and I understand the issue with Mr. Hall in economic development, but in the Post-Dispatch, when I was reading it this morning, it stated that his name was not going to be returned. Was that factual?
That's what I was told just a few moments ago by the governor's aide, that he was not going to ask that it be withdrawn.
Okay.
It's my understanding that
if that's the case,
I don't want to steal his thunder, but there's going to be an announcement made by the governor's office sometime later today regarding Mr. Hall.
Okay. The reason I bring it up, I understand we, the Senate, confirm, but the gentleman's in his late 30s to bar him from life of an opportunity to be renominated somewhere else along his career, I did not think would be fair. So that's why I brought that up. But if there has not been a request made to return, I can't elaborate on that much further then. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. There has not been a request to withdraw his appointment.
Senator from 24th.
To inquire of the senator from Stoddard.
Does the senator yield?
Yes.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I also want to express my disappointment in the governor's office in not taking back this nomination. A big percentage of the business community in St. Louis County and St. Louis City rallied behind and supported this nomination, and I respect the committee's determination that before you place someone in charge of a $500 million budget, they might show some greater evidence of having had some prior experience in managing any kind of budget to speak of. In private conversations, we all agree this person might very well be a good deputy appointment. And given the opportunity to be around the process and learn even more and to come back before this body at a future date, I just want to make sure that all those back in St. Louis that are in support of this young man understand that we don't think that he can't someday hold this position. We just don't think that that day is today. And there's a real simple mechanism to ensure that this young man would have the opportunity to play this role in our economy, and that's simply to have the governor take back this appointment. And, you know, if the community back home is right in their assertion that he'll make a fine director someday, it's a shame that that opportunity won't be made available to him by the actions of that very person who put his name forward.
Yes, and I agree with you, Senator, that Mr. Hall has demonstrated that he's an intelligent young man with a lot of capabilities, but as you mentioned, at this point, it would not be the right time to put him in that position sometime in the future, as you pointed out. So thank you, Senator.
Senator from the 4th.
Senator from Stoddard.
Yes.
Does the Senator yield?
Yes.
Proceed.
Senator, I just wanted to voice my displeasure with Mr. Hall not being able to be put in this position. I mean, I think it's very unfortunate that we don't allow the governor to pick his own cabinet. And in my opinion, Mr. Hall is extremely qualified. He may not have the small business and budget experience, but he's worked in the department. He's young and enthusiastic. I mean, we're in an age where we have, for instance, today, the Facebook IPO is coming out, the largest IPO in history with a 27-year-old man behind it. And I think it's extremely short-sighted, and I think it's a very unfortunate day for the state of Missouri where this appointment gets blocked.
Well, Senator, I believe that this Senate body and the committee has worked responsibly in researching and going over each of these appointments, and we take this responsibility very seriously. And as was mentioned earlier by the senator that I was conversing with earlier, we do agree that Mr. Hall is articulate. He's shown a lot of ability, but he is very young. And there's been things that have been happening over in the Department of Economic Development, I believe, that concerns every person in this body. If not, it should, with such projects as MAMTEC and several others that have just not worked out. And now's not the time to put someone in there that lacks experience in the private sector, who is young, who is very articulate and intelligent, but lacking in experience. So I believe that the gubernatorial appointments committee vetted his background and his experience very well, also took into consideration some interaction that he had with a former auditor, and there was some ways that he interacted with her about the audit that was done that raised some concerns about his maturity and how he handled that. And so I respect your opinion, Senator, but I believe this body and that gubernatorial appointments committee went through his appointment very thoroughly and felt like that this was not the time to play someone of that lacking of an experience and that important of a position.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Any other senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the unanimous consent request to proceed on the long list in one motion vote is granted. Senator, your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move the committee reports be adopted and the Senate do give its advice and consent to the appointments.
Does any senator wish to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
Senator renews his motion on adoption of the committee report confirming the nominees. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Committee report is adopted. Senator.
Senator from Howell. Al, I called on you, sir. Do you have a committee report?
Now that you reminded me, I do have a committee report.
Please send it forward, Senator. We have remained on that order of business. Read the committee report. Read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 464, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Perkison, Chairman.
Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a committee report from your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments.
Send it forward, sir. Read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments, to which was referred the following appointment, James T. Blair IV, Republican, as a member of the Conservation Commission for a term ending June 30th, 2017, and until his successor is duly appointed and qualified, Vice James T. Blair IV, withdrawn. Respectfully, Robert Mayer, Chairman.
Senator from the 24th.
Committee report be adopted, and the Senate do give its advising consent to the appointment of James T. Blair IV.
Does any senator wish to be heard on that motion? The senator from Lewis.
Yes, Mr. President. I know it was mentioned in committee yesterday that I had some concerns about his appointment, but I have visited with him, and I don't know him quite as well as my own son now. But I have visited to a great extent with him, and I do feel that he is.
Yeah. Senator, before you began, you did not state whether you were inquiring of your colleague from the 24th or speaking on the nomination. Which are you doing?
I would like to speak on the nomination.
Very good, sir. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Like I said, I did have concerns. Conservation is very important to me. And Missouri is very diverse in its natural resources and its wildlife. After visiting with Mr. Blair, I think that he is an excellent appointee to this commission post. I think he's very knowledgeable about the wildlife issues that we have out there. He's a good conservationist, and he understands landowner rights. He does own some farmland, so he knows what needs to be done out there to help the wildlife. Now, I do believe that we need to have, like I said earlier, as diverse as Missouri is in its wildlife and natural resources, we do need to have those people scattered around the state so that they can express the views and the interest of the areas that they do represent. And that has been one of my pushes this year. But like I say, Mr. Blair, I think, fits this bill very well. As a commissioner, he assured me that he will ask a lot of questions. Now, I do have some concerns that in the future that we do look at other areas of the state. And I have got assurances that we will look around the state for future appointees. And I sure would encourage my colleagues as those future appointees come up. Now, there's one other thing. This whole process, and we did notify the governor's office about 12 days ago or ask a person there about this appointment process. It would be real nice if we as senators knew when these openings were coming up so that we could be looking for people in our own districts to put forward for these nominations. Unfortunately, we hadn't heard anything back from the governor's office, but this could be something I might be bringing up in the future too. We've got so many commissions that it would be nice for us to know exactly what commissions are coming open. But I do have assurances that they will look around the state, and especially North Missouri, because currently all of the commissioners right now are from South Missouri, and that's a little disheartening to me. But like I say, in the future, hopefully we can move some of those appointments around, and I do have assurances that that will be done. But like I say, again, I do wholeheartedly support James T. Blair as an appointee to this commission, and I think he will do Missouri conservation and Missouri citizens well in his appointment to this commission. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from Clay.
I'd like to speak on the nomination on
Proceed.
The motion. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this body needs to be aware of something that is going on with a lot of our executive departments, but especially with the Department of Conservation. How many of us that are hunters here know about the fact that there's a point system, a rather lengthy point system, that's used as an internal guideline with which our hunting licenses, our fishing licenses, our trapping licenses could be affected? They're guidelines. They've never been published as a rule. Now, with regard to our driving privileges in the state of Missouri, the Missouri House and Senate has seen fit to actually publish a statute to let it go through the legislative process so that when we receive various tickets, driving violations, we know exactly the points that are to be attached. We know exactly the procedure that we go through in order to challenge the assessment of those points against our driving privileges. However, that is not so with the Department of Conservation. You can be accumulating points. They can decide that they're going to assess the points. They can decide they're not going to assess the points. Nobody really knows if it's based on who you know or what you did. They didn't even publish it as a rule so that the public could come in and have open sunshine commentary, public input as to whether or not these points were correct, justified, or if it's even the path that we want to go down. But I highlight this not to stop this appointment. I believe, you know, the gentleman, he came and visited with me. He appears to be passionate about conservation. He has a long history of service to the community. But I raise this point at this time to let this body know that if we continually let executive departments get away with doing things that affect our rights and privileges as Missouri citizens, guess what? They're going to keep doing it. And we've got to say, when is it time for us to demand sunshine? When is it time for us to say, you must publish these things that affect our rights as rules? When are we going to say, maybe we need to have statutes on this? This is a continual issue. We deal with it on the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules all the time. It's everywhere from liquor control to social services to you name it. There's hardly an executive branch that isn't covered by this, where that they are now calling things internal guidelines that do not require public comment, that do not require any review by the legislature, and yet they are affecting our substantive rights and the rights of the people that we represent. And I would suggest to you, any of you who think that you can find this guideline very easily on the Department of Conservation website, lots of luck, Now, maybe they've changed it since the last time we went looking for it, but it's at least about a 15, 16-page document that outlines all sorts of potential offenses for which you could accumulate points, and we're not even really sure what the clear path is to go into court in order to challenge that. So I raise it as a point that we need to be vigilant and aware of this. You may hear me back up on it again on other points where that the executive branch is doing this, but we just have to be vigilant because they are affecting substantive rights. There is a point system within the Department of Conservation, and it's only a guideline. There was no sunshine. There was no public comment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from Green.
To inquire of the senator from Clay.
Does the senator from Clay yield? Proceed.
Senator, you just got my attention when you said rules there, naturally, from our discussions. What you're describing sounds just like the situation over at Revenue that I was told about, where they had proposed a rule and there was a lot of comment on it, and then they withdrew it and just decided, instead of going through the process to circumvent it and just publish an or just change their internal instructions. That sounds exactly like what you're talking about that the Department of Conservation apparently is doing with our licenses to
right, with the
hunt.
Point system. It's, as I said, you just highlighted another area, the Department of Revenue. I think the senator from Buchanan is aware of an area where rules may or may not be published with regard to spend down provisions for eligibility for Medicaid, and how that they may not be fairly applied to everyone who has a spend down provision applied to them. We see it in liquor control. There may be an internal guideline in Kansas City about how one might go about getting a temporary permit, a completely different standard in Jefferson City, and it may depend on who asked the question. It shouldn't be that way. Our laws should be fair, and it should be so obvious how anyone can proceed to protect their rights and privileges in the state of Missouri that at least the person affected and their attorney can figure it out. I'm not sure we can with the way things are happening now.
Well, I know it's Thursday and we've been here late many nights, and I know we want to get out of here, so I'll be brief, but I just wanted to underscore what you said. I hope we can have a greater conversation. Maybe we can even talk with the folks over at Conservation and bring some sense to this. I think the people,
Senator,
are not
we've
served.
We've been trying.
Well, I'd like to join in on that, because I don't think the people are served when we have this kind of stuff being done under the veil of secrecy and the public is not able to comment. We are the check on that. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you.
Senator, and I appreciate the legislation that you're working on. I think it also goes a long way toward helping protect individual rights with regard to this. So thank you for including me on the work that you're doing with that.
Thank you, and thank you for your help.
Sure enough.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on the motion of the senator from the 24th who needs to be back in the chamber? Seeing none, when he returns, he will be recognized to close. Senator from 24th, we do need you back in the chamber. Senator from 24th, now that you have your coffee, you, sir, are recognized to close.
And I do.
Senator renews his motion on adoption of the committee report confirming this nominee. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The committee report is adopted. Senator from 23rd.
Without objection, the Senate will give the order of business of Senate bills on third reading.
Senate bills on third reading. Senate substitute for Senate Bill 464. Senator from Buchanan.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 464 with Senate substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body for third reading.
Mr. President, I move that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 464 be read a third time and finally passed. Senate Bill 464 would prohibit the governor from creating a health insurance exchange by executive order. No department, agency, or political subdivision could create an exchange either. A state-based exchange would require action by the legislature or by the people through a referendum or initiative petition. If passed by this body in the House, the text of the bill will be referred to the voters of Missouri for action at the November election. I would be glad to answer any questions. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion. Senator from Buchanan, does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize to close.
I close.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate Bill 464, an act relating to the authority for creating and operating health insurance exchanges in Missouri. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 11th votes no. Senator from 23rd votes aye. Senator from Cape votes aye. Senator from Christian votes aye. Senator from Boone votes aye. By your vote, 25 aye, 8 no, the bill is declared passed. Let the record show that the titling and perfecting motion, first time this year, was made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you see if there are messages from the governor?
Are there messages from the governor? There are.
Read them.
Please read the messages.
Please read them.
To the Senate of the 96th General Assembly of the State of Missouri, I hereby withdraw from your consideration the following appointments to office made by me and submitted to you on January 4th, 2012 for your advice and consent. Stephen Stoll, 716 Richard Avenue, Festus, Jefferson County, Missouri, 63028, as a member of the Public Service Commission for a term ending December 13, 2017, and until his successor is duly appointed and qualified. Vice Robert Clayton, term expired. Respectfully, Jeremiah W. J. Nixon, Governor.
Senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, I move that the appointment be returned to the governor per his request. This is the appointee that was going on the Public Service Commission as a Democrat. Members of the Gubernatorial Appointments Committee and other members of this body have requested from the governor that we learn who the Republican appointee is going to be, and so that was the delay for giving our advice and consent at this time. I believe most of the members of the gubernatorial appointments don't have any objection to Mr. Stoll, the former state senator, but as we move forward, would like to know who is the Republican appointee on that very important commission.
Heard the motion from Stoddard. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. This withdrawal motion pertains to Steve Stoll only on the PSC. And with that, I renew my motion.
Heard the motion from Senator from Stoddard. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Madam Secretary, please read the second letter.
To the Senate of the 96th General Assembly of the State of Missouri, I hereby withdraw from your consideration the following appointments to office made by me and submitted to you on January 4, 2012 for your advice and consent. Francis Dorrell, Republican, 215 West Edwards, Maryville, Nottoway County, Missouri, 64468, as a member of the Northwest Missouri State Board, University Board of Regents for a term ending January 1, 2017, and until his successor is duly appointed and qualified. Vice Francis Dorrell withdrawn. Respectfully submitted, Jeremiah W. J. Nixon, Governor.
Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the appointment be returned to the governor per his request. This is an appointee, I believe, that the senator from Andrew had some issues with the timing on his being appointed, and he has worked with the governor's office about this appointment, and I understand that, of course, he can speak for himself, that he's on board with this withdrawal and working with the governor's office to make certain that in the future it's done the way it needs to be done.
Heard the motion from Stoddard. Any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator, you've heard the motion of the Senator from Stoddard. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Madam Secretary, please read the third letter.
To the Senate of the 96th General Assembly of the State of Missouri, I hereby withdraw from your consideration the following appointment to office made by me and submitted to you on January 4, 2012 for your advice and consent. Robert Dallas, Democrat, 32802 First Street, Conception, Nottoway County, Missouri, 64433, as a member of the Northwest Missouri State University Board of Regents for a term ending January 1, 2017, and until his successor is duly appointed and qualified. Vice Gary Panthier, term expired. Respectfully submitted, Jeremiah J. Nixon, Governor.
Senator Stoddard.
Again, Mr. President, I move that the appointment be returned to the governor per his request. And once again, this is an issue that the senator from Andrew has with this appointment. I don't believe he wants to necessarily keep this person from being on the Board of Regents. There's a timing issue, and he's working that out with the governor's office. And with that, I close.
Heard the motion. You're not recognized for that yet, Senator. You heard the motion, Senator from Stoddard. Any senator wish to speak on that motion? Now, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President, I close.
You heard the motion, Senator from Stoddard. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, Madam Secretary, please read the fourth letter from the governor.
To the Senate of the 96th General Assembly of the State of Missouri, I hereby withdraw from your consideration the following appointment to office made by me and submitted to you on January 4, 2012 for your advice and consent. Joseph Hunt, Democrat, 7500 Bull Run Drive, St. Louis, St. Louis County, Missouri, 63123, as a member of the State Highways and Transportation Commission for a term ending March 1, 2017, and until his successor is duly appointed and qualified. Vice Joseph Hunt withdrawn. Respectfully submitted, Jeremiah W. J. Nixon, Governor.
Senator from Stoddard.
Mr. President, I move the appointment be returned to the governor per his request. This individual was moved forward to serve on the Highway Commission. The senator from Howell had some issues with that appointment, not so much not necessarily the individual, but the fact that the distribution of the highway commissioners throughout the state, there's not one in the southern region of Missouri or the southeast and central region. And so he asked that this be held up, and certainly if he wants to address it more in more detail, he can.
You heard the motion of the senator from Stoddard. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Howell, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Yes, Mr. President, to speak on the motion.
Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, this is an issue not about individuals, because Mr. Hunt may be a great guy. I think this is an issue of equal representation from across the state. You know, I, in my capacity, am supposed to stand up and fight for not only what is best for the state of Missouri, but also for the area that I represent. If you look at, if this nominee was to go forward, if you look at the makeup of the nominees across the state, you would have three from the St. Louis region, currently Ladue, St. Charles, and this would add someone from St. Louis. The other representation from that would be the makeup of this commission would be from the Springfield, the Kansas City area, and Neosho. Southern, South Central, and Southeast Missouri does not have anyone on this highway commission at this time or in the future. If you want to look back on some history of this last fall, you know, District 9 of the MoDOT in our area that was based in Willow Springs was closed. This put only two headquarters in the entire southern region of the state. District 9 represented South Central, branched over into Southeast Missouri. That, since then, that has been closed. You know, and that was a sticky issue in our area because a lot of people felt that headquarters needed to remain open. I was in ways torn about that because I wanted the headquarters to remain open, but I, as a lot of us in this body, go out and decree upon governmental bodies to cut back and reform and grow smaller and become more efficient. This was MoDOT's way of trying to address that charge that this General Assembly makes on a yearly basis. So I was one of those that was caught in the middle of this situation of an area being closed down in my area under the push towards becoming more streamlined and saving taxpayer dollars. But what it has done is people in my area now on the eastern part have to go to Sykeston to address any MoDOT issues with a headquarters. That's over 200 miles away. On the other side, you have to go to the Springfield area, which is over 150 miles away from some areas. So we've lost that representation that we had in this area. And back in the fall, I went to the governor's office and requested of him, the next person named to the board, since we lose our, to the commission, since we are losing our headquarters in the southern part of the state, and many of us that represent South Central Missouri and Southeast Missouri would not have anyone on the commission, I requested of him to allow the next person that goes on to be from that geographical area so we could make sure that our interest and the economic activity that is needed by a quality transportation system would not be held up in that area. In return, someone else from another region of the state was named to be on this commission. Now, I could be a bad person and totally kill this nominee, but I have nothing against this nominee. He may be a very good person to have on the commission, but I believe at this time someone from our area of the state that has no representation deserves to be there first. So I'm hoping with working with the governor on this issue and a commitment that many in this body have made and I believe the commitment that the second floor has made, I will allow this motion to go forward, and hopefully the next commissioner that we put on this commission that is one of the, I believe, one of the most important commissions in the state when it comes to economic activity, someone from the areas that are not being represented now, the nominee will be from that geographical area. So other than that, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak on this nominee.
We're on the motion from Senator from Stoddard. Senator from Cape, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, to inquire the Senator from Howell.
Senator from Howell, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
And thank you very much, Senator, for your leadership on this issue. I just wanted to echo and stress with
with a little more intensity the points that you made. If this individual is confirmed, that will be three highway commissioners from the St. Louis area.
Correct. Ladue, St. Charles, and St. Louis.
Yeah, so that's three in St. Louis and none in southern Missouri, southeast Missouri,
and south
North
central
Missouri, any of those areas. So, you know, it's not like this is the first person from St. Louis. It's not like it's the second person from St. Louis. This would be the third person from St. Louis that's there. That's one point that I think gives it context. The other importance that'll give this context is, I think many of the senators have seen for the first time how this confirmation process and how important this confirmation process is. It is a very valuable component that is spelled out in the state constitution. It is as big a responsibility as members of the Missouri Senate as any other responsibility that you have with that title that your constituents place upon you for the four-year term that you're here. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, there may be individuals that don't like the way this worked out. There are a lot of things that worked out for the benefits of people in this process that has happened since the beginning of January that haven't risen to this level, that are both on the majority and the minority parties that are here. But working together and having that dialogue as a Senate with the second floor enables us to be able to have a broader picture of what the public policy is in the state of Missouri than, say, an individual House member or just our capacity to pass bills. It gives you the ability to have this dialogue. And I, for one, hope that the Senate has seen this process play out. It has worked in a fashion that it's supposed to work. It has been transparent in its nature. And I want to stress to you my appreciation and my commitment to continuing to zealously guard the confirmation process that's available to individual senators in these very high-level, very important implementing quasi-governmental agencies that we do have. This is it. Folks, this is the only oversight you have of MoDOT. This is it. That's it. I mean, the senator from the first can tell you, the senator from Boone can tell you, yeah, we've got little line items in the budget, but it's a dedicated sales tax. It rolls through. I really do appreciate this. I want to make one other point before ending the inquiry to make sure everyone knows where we're at. If this guy shows up in an interim appointment, he's done. And it's not and it's not because we did this. It's because the governor yet again played another game, and he will be banned for life from being able to serve on MoDOT if he shows up again in the interim. And just so everyone understands, the governor has the ability to make an interim appointment when we're not in session. If he makes one at the end of May when we're not here, we will get another bite at the apple during veto session to deal with these things. I just want everyone to know right now that we are allowing this to go back. We have commitments from the governor's office that a dialogue will occur. In no way, shape, or form are we submitting who the governor has to appoint. There's no infringement of where that is. It's a dialogue of conversation that is appropriate in every manner between members of the Missouri Senate and the second floor. I think it's very, very important that everyone knows that if this guy shows up in May, is reappointed, there are going to be no return letters that happen in veto sessions.
Right. And I want to just refresh to you and the body some of the conversations that went on. You know, I have nothing against this guy, and that's why, you know, we're allowing this nominee to go back. We just don't think it's his time because of the representation that's on the MoDOT commission. Now, we have the ability to kill it. We can sit here right now and kill this nominee, but it's not about the nominee. So the commitment that we're trying to get, and I think that we have, is the next commissioner named will not be this person, but that the next commissioner will be someone that is put on there that best represents all of the state and gets the state that currently, the portion of the state that currently does not have anyone on the commission to be there. You know, am I demanding who goes on? Absolutely not. I just want the geographical areas from around the state that do not have representation to receive the consideration from the governor to name someone from there. Now, Mr. Hunt, after that's done, could be the next nominee that goes on.
3 years, don't 4 care. Years, 5
don't
years
care.
Down the
he
line.
May do a great job. So we have the ability to put a death penalty on him, right. But we're not doing it because, you know, I guess we're just nice guys.
Well, a lot has been said that we're not trying to work with the second floor.
Senate needs to come to order so the senators can debate. Sorry, senators, proceed.
A lot has been said that we may or may not be trying to work with the second floor here. I want to add another piece of communication onto that. The commitment was also made that this is not going to lay as a vacancy until 2013.
I hope not. It's important.
It's an important it's role important. That, you know, I've had some appointments that, because they knew I had issues with who they wanted to put on there, they just left them vacant for a year and a half, and I guess they're going to take the basketball to the top of the key until January 2013 if they think they're going to get reelected on the second floor, which, you know, that's one way the governor can deal with it. That is the way that the governor's dealing with it. If we wanted to respond in kind to this governor, we wouldn't be allowing Stoll to be withdrawn. We wouldn't be allowing Hunt to be withdrawn. Because I'm telling you, my 3 years here, I feel like I've been treated not as generously relative to my capacity as a confirming member of this body as we are treating this governor. It is by far, out of balance. And it's not, in my opinion personally, that we're being the unreasonable parties here in respecting the honors and traditions of the Missouri Senate through the confirmation process from a guy who used to have a seat in this place and you'd think would have a better understanding of it.
It's the a lot of our forefathers put in because they feared government, the checks and balances in the system. And this is one of the checks and balances that we as a Senate body have to remember, future members coming forward have to remember. This is not a individual place that we're furthering ourselves. This is our ability to protect our districts and protect the people that we represent by this process. And I hope that in the future we remember how the process of checks and balances, of diplomatic communications with the second floor and the Senate can proceed. Yeah. So
it didn't have to be this way. This issue was raised
in
a long time ago. It didn't have to play out this way. The second floor dictated that it was going to play out this way.
One of the frustrating things about this process is I was in communications with the governor's office in September, in the fall, over this issue, and no further communication until this morning, or last night at 11 o'clock last night. So that's not the way to do business.
And it doesn't have to be that way, but for whatever reason, we are where we are. I appreciate the inquiry. Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Clay was the first one I saw seeking recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce very special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left over here is the presiding commissioner for Clay County, Pam Mason, and she's visiting the Capitol today as part of the commissioner's good work representing themselves in our great counties here in the Missouri Capitol, and I would appreciate if the body would make her feel welcome.
Would the body please make the guests from Clay feel welcome? Senator from Lawrence. No, Jefferson, excuse me.
Or the Senator
from Jefferson,
Cape,
first one
before he leaves.
Senator,
do you have gas?
For what purpose do you seek recognition? Senator from Jefferson, you have the floor. Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Mr. President, in the upper gallery behind me is the 4th grade class from New City School in my district, and the teacher, Ms. Carla Duncan, and I would ask the Senate to give them a very warm welcome.
The guests of the Senator from the 4th, please stand and the body make them feel welcome. Senator from Jefferson, what purpose do you seek recognition?
First, I'd like to point out that the Senator from the 15th, I don't believe he applauded for the Senator for the 4th guest. I'd like to inquire the Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Senator from Cape, do you yield?
Yes, I yield.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, I know Monday that committee hearing was very contentious. I was mad, you were mad, Senator from Andrew was mad. And I've had a lot of time to think about this, and I listened to your comments, and I wholeheartedly agree. My anger was misdirected. It needed to be with the second floor. And the way the process is playing out, I think we can get to an end game that everybody can be happy. But much like the debate last night, I kept talking on the floor how things don't have to be this hard. Sometimes around here we make things so difficult. The request to the second floor from you and the Senator from Andrew has been out there for quite a long time. And even as far as the message to be read this morning, it was supposed to be here before we came in, and by 10 o'clock we still hadn't had the message. And I share your frustration. I hope that going forward, the second floor will engage the Senate like they're supposed to do, and I just wanted to make that comment and thank you for your help in that matter.
And I appreciate that, Senator, and I appreciate your efforts. And I think, you know, there truly is. I mean, I had a great meeting with the Senator from the 23rd and the Minority Leader on workers' compensation issues, okay? We all know that was a contentious issue. I've had some issues with the way that the Senator from the 23rd had introduced his bill, but the dialogue is occurring. I think we had great dialogue in the round room late at night on where that is. You're 100% correct that there are easy ways and there are hard ways.
We heard a couple years ago, former Senator Bond came and addressed the Senate, and he talked about when he was the governor, there was an overwhelming Democratic majority, but he passed any piece of legislation he ever wanted passed during his time as governor because he sat down and met with the members of the Senate and tried to work to compromise. Since I've gotten to the legislature in 1999, Mel Carnahan somewhat was decent at it. But since then, the last three governors ignore the Senate and ignore when we were in the House as well. And I don't think, maybe it's because much like the people in the bureaucracies across the state know that we'll be gone from here in a short time, that they don't have to listen to us anymore. But if this is going to continue, we're going to educate the new members that this is not the way we're supposed to operate around here. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To briefly inquire the Senator from Howe.
Senator from Howe, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, I heard your discussion on the floor, and I understand where you're coming from in your region. My issue is due to the fact the Highway Commission is partisan, 3-3, is there any Democrats in Southwest Missouri to put on there?
There's the two that I talked to.
Is there
one
two?
One of them was willing to serve on that commission.
So there's two down there, and one was willing to serve.
One didn't want to do it because he's thinking about switching.
Okay, thank you.
Senator from Jefferson.
Fire the Senator from the 13th.
Senator from the 13th, do you yield?
Yes.
Oh,
you yield, Senator, you may proceed.
I was going to talk about your fashion statement. You always have your tie tucked into your pants, and I was going to point that out. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on your order. Senator from the 23rd.
Speak on the motion.
Proceed, Senator.
Mr. President, I've heard my district lumped in with those urban dwellers to the east. We have a rich history in agriculture in my district, and I'm happy to stand alongside my rural brethren on this motion.
We're on the motion of the Senator from Stoddard. Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Require the Senator from the 23rd.
Senator from the 23rd, do you yield?
I do.
He yields.
It's an interesting statement. I'm going to get a copy of that next time we're at the RCGA meeting. Because I've heard you say other things. You're St. Louis Regional Senator.
Kind of anyway. Like Bill Clinton. Depends
okay.
on the audience.
I'm going to get a, somebody in my office could cut the tape on that. Appreciate it. Thanks.
We're on the motion of the Senator from Stoddard. Is any other Senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize the close.
I close.
Heard the motion of the Senator from Stoddard. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion, you've adopted the motion. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go back to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a committee report from your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments.
Please send it forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments, to which was referred the following appointment: Ronald J. Levy, 21 Claremont Lane, St. Louis County, Missouri, 63124, as a member of the Missouri Consolidated Health Care Plan Board of Trustees, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate do give its advice and consent to said appointment. Respectfully, Senator Mayor, Chairman.
Senator from 24th.
I move that the committee report be adopted and the Senate do give its advice and consent to the appointment of Ron Levy.
Heard the motion of Senator from 24th. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, could I inquire of the senator from Buchanan?
From where?
Buchanan.
Buchanan. Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yes.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed. You may proceed.
Thank you. Is it Buchanan? Well, some people think that because, you know, we are a place where people make good bucks. Because why? No, it's Buchanan, Senator. Move your mic up a little bit, Senator.
I'm sorry?
Can you move your mic up a little bit?
I was going to ask you to do the same.
Is it? You don't want to hear me?
All right. How's that? Down a little bit?
No.
Is that better?
That's better.
Let's have some order and senators proceed with their debate or inquiry.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you.
I'm still having trouble hearing you, but go ahead.
The reason for the inquiry was, you know, over the last number of days, we've had different conversations. I know that you've had some questions about this nominee, and I just wanted to see where you were on that issue.
On the issue of what?
Ron Levy.
Oh, yes. I serve on the Missouri Consolidated Healthcare Plan Board of Directors at the pleasure of the pro tem, and I was on the board previously at the pleasure of the Speaker of the House when I was in the House. So I've been on there for 3 or 4 years and watched the proceedings. And I'm troubled by some of the things that I see. The statutory makeup of the Consolidated Healthcare Plan already includes the directors of the Department of Health and Senior Services, the Department of Insurance, the Commissioner of OA. And recently this body approved the nomination, confirmed the nomination of Linda Lubring, the budget director, who was put into one of the 6 slots as, you know, governor appointees, of which 3 are supposed to be plan members and 3 are not plan members. She took one of the plan member slots, and we approved her. Now comes Ron Levy, who is the immediate past director of the Department of Social Services. And the 3 non-member slots really should be non-political. They should not be people who have an interest in a close relationship to the governor. And I can't think of anyone who would have a closer relationship than an immediately former director of the Department of Social Services. And that's not the only reason that I have concerns with Mr. Levy in this position. I've interacted with him since during his entire tenure as the director of the department. This is my 10th year in the legislature, and though the very first year I was on the Appropriations Committee for Health, Mental Health, and Social Services over in the House, and it's been difficult getting truthful, I shouldn't say truthful, but clear, concise, full information from the department on the inner workings of it. It's been difficult. And everybody in this room probably knows that, you know, I ask lots of questions in these committees. Well, in 2007, we created a thing called the MoHealthNet Oversight Committee. And it was actually my dream child, sort of. I felt that the MoHealthNet department needed oversight, and so we created this oversight committee. And it just like the MCHCP board, has been stacked with people who are of the same sort of political mindset as the executive branch and as of the bureaucrats in the department. But I'm glad we did it. Recently I've had second thoughts. I thought, we should get rid of that thing. It's just a rubber stamp. But on November the 15th, we had a meeting, and it made me glad that we created it, because something came to light that every member of this body ought to know about, and as well as the members of the press. And I would like to have an opportunity to discuss that. This happened under the Department of Social Services, and partly under the watch of Mr. Ron Levy. And I think that every member here will be interested to hear the details of this. Well, anyway, back in 2005, when Governor Blunt took office, we tightened up the eligibility on Medicaid. And the eligibility on Medicaid is a very complicated thing. It isn't easy to understand, but I'll try to outline it in a way that you can understand simply. We created a thing called the Spend Down Program. Now, it used to be that you would get Medicaid if you were at 100% of the federal poverty level. But we made it so that people who were over 100% could get Medicaid services through a spend down. And prior to the Republican Party taking over, I think that level was lowered down to about 87% of the poverty level. And I hope nobody holds me exactly to these figures, because, you know, they may not be exact in my head. So anyway, what this means is that people who are on, I'm going to talk about a subpopulation of people who are dual eligibles. In other words, that means they're eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid. Well, if you're one of these people, and you say, let's say you have income of $1,000, well, under the law that we passed in 2005, you would have to spend some of that money on your own health care and spend down to the limit, which is somewhere around $800. I think it's really $780 or some number close to $800. But for the purposes of our discussion, let's say it's $800, and let's just say that here's a person who earns $1,000 a month, or a year. So what it means is
$1,000
a month.
Yeah. A month, yeah.
So you would have to then, you would have two choices in order to receive Medicaid. You would either have to write a check to the department for a couple hundred dollars, or you would have to incur $200 of medical expenses for which you were responsible. Okay? Now, the amount of the Medicaid that, or the spend down that you have to pay in order to be put onto the program and start receiving services is computed by some state workers, who are the frontline workers, social workers, whatever, and they operate under a manual. and the manual is available to be seen online. And back in 2002, they had the manual, and here is what the I'm going to read a paragraph. It's an example. It says, a claimant with a $50 spend down visits a physician on March 1. The cost of the visit is $80. The claimant has Medicare, but is not on the QMB program, which stands for Qualified Medicare Beneficiary Program. Now it says, to the state worker, count the entire $80 bill toward meeting the spend down and show the claimant as having met spend down on the first. Okay. Elsewhere in the text, it explains that the worker is not to deduct the part that the insurance company will pay, but to count the entire bill. Now, what this means is, this is contrary to the law that we passed in 2005. Normally, the spend or the percentage of a service that a person is responsible for is about 20%. 20% of $80 is about $16.
Right.
So if the state worker had this person who had a $50 spend down, they should by law count $16 toward it, and the person would still have to spend another $32 before they would be put on the program and have the state of Missouri start paying for their drugs, you know, their non-emergency medical transportation, their, you know, other health care bills. But being that they've been counting the whole $80, the person immediately goes on to the program, and now the state is going to pay.
Is that defrauding the state?
Is that what?
Is that defrauding the state?
Well, it's difficult for me to say that there's fraud going on.
Okay.
Because, see, the bottom line of it is they have this manual online. It was never promulgated as a rule. It's just online. Now, let me bring you forward in time to some time last year. I don't have a good handle on when it occurred, but both my chief of staff and I, both, we think we remember them saying that they discovered this error somewhere around March or April of last year. I'm not for sure. At any rate, at some point in time last year, the department realized that they were doing this wrong. Now, let's talk about the scope of this problem. There are people with a wide range of spend downs. Some people might have a $20 spend down, or a $50, or $100, or some people might have $2,000 spend down. I mean, there are people who have income of, I don't know, $2,000-$3,000 a month, and in order to get onto the Medicaid program, they would have to spend all the way down to around $800. So if you multiply that out times all the people on this program, I mean, we're talking about tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars that the state is not collected. Now, it's very difficult and confusing, and it's impossible for me to get a handle on the total quantity of money that we're talking about. But let's just make it clear that at some point in time last year, the department realized that they had been in error for, I don't know, 7 years, maybe. Now, they decided to change this, to start doing it the right way. So what they did was they called up their workers and they told them to do it different. But they didn't change this policy online. They didn't fix this. It was still online as they were just telling their workers by phone what to do differently. And this caused a problem for some people. And because there are people who were getting Medicaid services, not according to the statute, but according to this, and they started complaining. They go, well, what happened? What changed? And so they asked the department, did you change your policy? The department said, no, we didn't change our policy. Well, but in reality, they did. So this first affected a group of people who are on dialysis. They have kidney failure. They're on dialysis. And these people would go to the dialysis center, say, the very first day of the month. Dialysis is expensive. It might, you know, they might incur bills of $1,000, you know, who knows, a lot. And so the department would count the entire cost of all of that, when indeed they should have only been counting 20%, the portion for which the patient is responsible. But they would count the entire amount, and some of these people on dialysis, they probably have pretty large incomes. Maybe their spend on might be $1,000, $2,000. I mean, a lot. And so they suddenly learn that in order to get their dialysis, they're going to have to spend down to write a check to the department for a lot of money, and they're not used to doing it. But it is what the law requires. Now, these people on dialysis, normally they get non-emergency medical transportation. Some of them have difficulty getting around. I feel very sorry for them. I mean, they do have a serious problem that makes their life difficult. And so they would call up the NEMT provider to get their ride to go to the dialysis. But they would find out that they weren't on Medicaid because of this change that had occurred. And suddenly, well, they've been taking me to my dialysis, but now they're not taking me. And it was spotty throughout the state. It was as if some counties, the workers would do it according to the new policy, or, you know, the old policy, and some would do it according to the way that the workers were told. It was spotty, and the people who represent dialysis patients complained. And on November the 15th, at our MoHealthNet Oversight Committee meeting, which I attend that, some of these providers stood up during the open forum section for public comment and started talking about this. And luckily, I was there to ask a few questions. And it came immediately obvious that there were a lot of people that were going to be affected. And I asked the department if they were going to promulgate rules, and they hadn't made up their minds. And they didn't know what to say. I kind of felt that they were just kind of getting their hand caught red-handed. And so I was amazed that at that meeting, there was so much furor from these providers that the department said that they were going to pause on their enforcement of the statute. They were going to wait a little bit of time and study the problem and just go ahead and provide the benefits to these patients in violation of the state law for a period of time.
They don't have that option within the statute to pause.
Well, I mean, not that I know of, but I mean, you know, feel free to express some righteous indignation here. And I feel sorry for these people. And everyone on that committee, I mean, they're all dedicated healthcare professionals. They're more worried about their patients than they are the taxpayer. But I'm the one there looking out for the taxpayer. So I asked some tough questions. And then this Tuesday, day before yesterday, was the next meeting of the MoHealthNet Oversight Committee. And this came up and they gave a report about it. And I asked a few targeted questions. So, first of all, I knew that they had, in between November the 15th and Tuesday, changed what they had on the website. It no longer has that example. It now has a different example that basically says that you're to only count that part of the service for which the patient is responsible. Okay, now, so I asked some questions, and then I hurried back to my office, and I wrote down the questions and the answers, which I paraphrased. So I want to tell you, here are the answers to the questions. First of all, did the department change its published staff policy since our last meeting? And they admitted that they did. Of course, I already had it in hand. I knew very well that they did. And I said, did the previous version state that workers were to count the entire cost of the service as meeting the spend-down requirement instead of just the part for which the patient is responsible? And I said, yes, it did. And the current version states that workers only to count that portion for which patients are responsible. And they said, yes, it did.
Well, we got enough.
Then I asked, prior to identification of this problem, did the workers follow their previous policy? In other words, a year ago, 2 years ago. And they said, yes, they did. And I asked, I said, and was that policy in violation of the state law? And they freely agree that it is. It was in violation. And so then I asked, and currently, under the pause that we're having,
Who would?
Under this pause period, is the current policy as it is written being followed? And they answered no. In other words, what they're telling us is now they have it online that they're going to do it right, but right now they're pausing and they're not following their own policy as it's stated online. They're letting people onto the program that shouldn't be on the program. And so during this time, I mean, whenever they would talk about the scope of the problem, I would try to get, you know, what's the scope of the problem? They would always talk about the dialysis patients, which number like 80 or 90, you know. And so I asked, were patients other than dialysis patients involved in this mistake? And the answer was yes. They applied this policy from, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, to all of the dual eligibles in the state. And so I asked, how many is this? And the answer was somewhere around 5,200 patients. So basically the answer is, so about 5,200 patients have been getting Medicaid services when they shouldn't be. And that's what the bottom line of it is here. Okay, so then I said, now remember that they identified this problem sometime last year, and that it came to light publicly on November the 15th. Okay? And so I asked, what is the total amount of money that was forgiven but should have been due as a result of the mistake? They didn't know. Do you have an estimate? No. Well, they're kind of working on it. So I asked, being that the federal government foots, you know, 60-some percent of the bill, do we have to pay CMS back? And how much do we have to pay CMS back? You know, is it $100 million,
hey,
$10 million?
Kevin.
How much?
Will John ask for a roll call? Then?
They didn't have a number to give me. They don't know. Now, remember that it was November, December, January, February, plus the time before that. I mean, after 3 months, I think we'd know how much we're going to have to pay. It could be 10, 20, 100 million. I don't know how much it is, but it's going to be a lot of money. And if CMS requires that we pay it. So then I asked, under this pause, I mean, let's be clear, we are not following the statute as written, are we? And the answer was no. And then I asked, who is taking responsibility for this decision? And Director Kincaid said that he was taking responsibility, which I thought he was being a stand-up guy, although I don't believe him for 1 minute. I mean, he's not the one that did this. This comes from some higher-ups, okay? He's the interim director, and over the years I've found him to be a stand-up guy, and here he did. And so then I asked, does the department intend to promulgate rules on how you qualify for Medicaid? And the answer was, well, we're thinking about it. They haven't made a decision. And then I asked, does the department agree that laws on general statements of applicability by law must be promulgated as rules? And the answer was, no, they don't feel that way. They don't agree. And everybody I've talked to forever has said, oh, they have to be promulgated. So I want to summarize what's been going on. First of all, they used to have a policy before 2005 that was lawful, and they followed it. Then starting in 2005, they had the same policy, which they followed. It's just that it was illegal. Then sometime last year, they didn't change their written policy, but effectively changed their policy by telling their frontline workers to do it right. Okay? So then during that period of time, they had the illegal policy, but they were following the law. Then they got caught publicly on November the 15th and decided to pause. So then they had the illegal policy, but they knowingly followed it and said they were doing it publicly. Then they changed their online rule, which now is, it was stated correctly, but being that they were paused, they had the correct rule that was following the law, but now they're not following their rule and they're continuing to break the law. And they say that as by May 1, they intend to have this fixed and they are going to then have the right policy and follow the law. So for a 6-month period or so, they're just letting 5,200 people get Medicaid benefits. Who knows how much it's costing the state? They know it's illegal. You know, I don't know what you call that, misappropriation of state funds. I don't know. Something like that. Now, there you have it. And during part of this period of time, perhaps it occurred under the direction of Mr. Levy.
Senator, talk to me a little bit more about Board of Trustees and the makeup of that board. You had mentioned, as far as the trustees are concerned, there's certain trustees that represent a certain portion of the population and others that represent more of the administration and that type of thing.
Could you ask that again? I'm not sure. You want to know about the makeup of the board?
The appointment that Mr. Levy is up for as a member of this Board of Trustees.
Yeah, he would be under the three members who are not members of the plan, but who are familiar with medical issues. Citizens of the state of Missouri. Well, my opinion is that those are supposed to be non-political people. I mean, for gosh sakes, we've got on there the director of DSS, Department of Insurance, commissioner of OA, and now we've got Linda Lubring, the budget director, on there. All these political people, I mean, let's have some people looking out for the taxpayer. That's what I think. And you know, during Mr. Levy's hearing, it was reported to me that he parked in the underground basement of the Capitol. I mean, I'm sorry, but he is not non-political. I'm sure that, you know, he's a nice guy. I like him personally, but I don't like the things that I hear from him. Like, for example...
Say, Senator, hold that thought one moment.
Yes.
There's some other senators that want to inquire of you on this, so I'm going to end my inquiry.
Well, I should let you sit down because I know I made you stand there for a long time, and you're probably tired.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
I wish to inquire the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, I was getting a little bit of what you were saying there. So it went on for how long? Did they not promulgate rules after they discovered that they were calculating this error?
Well, they have not yet promulgated any rules.
What? Promulgated rules on the fact that they've determined that they're doing something incorrectly.
Okay, well, let me make this very clear, Senator. They never have promulgated rules on who qualifies for spend down ever. They never did, even though they're supposed to. I mean, I believe that they're supposed to. Maybe that's a matter of legal opinion, but what they do have is they have an online manual, which they didn't change until January the 24th.
So, and the Director Levy was in charge for how long underneath this regime?
Director Levy was the head of the Department of Social Services, and here is a report that says that his resignation was effective July 31st.
So how long were the calculations going on incorrectly? And my understanding is this is Medicaid dollars going out the door?
Both state and federal.
So when we're in this budget crisis that we're in right now, these are tax dollars that are going out the door that are inappropriately they should be spending down, correct?
Well, the thing about it is that I feel sorry for people who are in bad circumstances, and especially someone with such a severe problem as kidney failure and is on dialysis. I mean, it's the saddest thing. And my heart goes out to them. But the rule of law comes first. Everybody on our Medicaid program, in order to receive state benefits, is expected to write the check or incur the expenses for the spend down such that they will support their own health care down to the level that everyone else does. And so if they count, you know, let's just say the person has a $2,000 spend down and is on dialysis, they get to keep their house. They get to keep their check and spend it the way they've been doing it if they don't follow the law. I mean, you know, everybody else, the little old lady who lives all alone, she's allowed to keep $1,000 in the bank or whatever, and she has to live on $780 a month. Well, you know, she's writing her check for $20, but this other person isn't having to do that because of they're just not following the rules. And that money that they're not spending is money that's stolen away from us being able to provide for someone else. You know, they could, if they had to, and they should under the law, write the check, but they don't.
Your stand is underneath Director Levy's direction, there were some misguided actions that potentially are going to cost taxpayer dollars that should have been addressed on a more timely manner, and now we're looking at putting this individual on an accountability board after he's already shown he's not necessarily shown prudent judgment. Is that...
Well, it's difficult for me to say that, Senator, because the deal is that the department is not forthcoming with the date of exactly when they noticed this problem. If they came to me and they said, well, we noticed this problem on, April 1, 2011, then I could say that. All I know is that on November the 15th, at our MoHealthNet Oversight Committee meeting, it came.
Sir.
Mr. President, I ask that you withdraw my motion.
The motion will be sent back. Senator from Stoddard.
President, I have a committee report from your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments.
Please send your report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments, to which is referred the following appointment: Craig Van Matre, Democrat, as a member of the University of Missouri Board of Curators for a term ending January 1, 2013, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate do give its advice and consent to said appointment. Respectfully, Senator Mayor, Chairman.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that committee report be adopted and the Senate do give its advice and consent to the appointment of Craig Van Matre.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from Boone. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the First, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire of the Senator from Boone?
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. A little tired, but...
It was a long evening last night, wasn't it?
It was, but, you know, that's kind of how the process is supposed to go sometimes.
What we signed up for, wasn't it?
It is, and, you know, I think that... I'm kind of encouraged. I know, you know, tempers were short there for a while, but I think in the end, I think everybody said, you know, this kind of is how it's supposed to go. So
Senator from Nottoway mentioned that, you know, that's the way the process is supposed to work. And, you know, each senator is able to stand and, you know, voice their concerns. Interesting, the senator from the 14th stressed over and over again the difference between the House and the Senate and how a House member could only stand up and speak on a bill for 15 minutes.
Right.
And, you know, that's pretty much having your say. And that's why you're dealing with that tyranny of the majority on the other side of the building, which we don't have to
deal with. I agree with the Senator from the 24th. I think that, you know, that's a good demonstration that we are still the Senate and we are not the House.
Right. Hey, Senator, I know that you're a lover of the Constitution.
I am. Now you're going to ask me something obscure that I'm not going to know off my head.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I'm going to just read to you from Article 1, Section 8, and it's our freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that no laws shall be passed impairing the freedom of speech, no matter by what means communicated, that every person shall be free to say, write, or publish, or otherwise communicate whatever he may on any subject. And then there's a comma, and it's an interesting line. It says, being responsible for all abuses of that liberty.
That is correct.
It's interesting, isn't it? That again, I'm always intrigued by the founders of our state, the great state of Missouri, and some of the interesting twists that they put in our state constitution that, of course, is a reflection of our U.S. Constitution. One of my favorites, of course, after life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that it's our responsibility to protect the gain of our constituents' own industry. I love that line. You know, but this one is interesting. It says that we can't pass any law that would trample on the right of any individual Missourian to say anything that they want. Freedom of speech. But interesting, that comma that says, but if someone chooses to abuse that freedom of speech, they're going to be responsible for it. Now,
there are a lot of cases that deal with that line, and one of the good examples is you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater.
Great example.
You may have the First Amendment freedom to go in there and yell that, but the harm that you would cause, you have to balance those two things.
Right. That is a great example. You know, I think as elected officials, some of the positions that we take on different issues and different policies, we have to answer to the public for those often cases.
Sometimes on a daily basis, Senator.
Right. And, anything we might say on this floor, anything in the heat of a debate that we might utter, can really come back to bite us, in future campaigns or future elections, right? And that's just part of being an elected official and a politician, right?
Yep.
But, I think also, Senator, when we have people that want to serve their state in different areas, and the governor wants to point those people, to different boards and different commissions, and those people also have to be held to a standard, okay? And often, when we're evaluating that standard, then we come across things that members of this body, and as the senator from Cape mentioned earlier, that it's an awesome responsibility that we have as a Senate to apply in a proper way that check that we have on the executive branch. And it's my understanding when we do come across an individual that has articulated certain views that they may hold, that we need to assess that. So that's what I'm going to be doing over the next period of time with a number of our colleagues, Senator. I just want to let you know, because I know this is somebody that you have put forth before this body, and I have respect for that. But I am going to have some discussion with some of our colleagues on some of the things that Mr. Van Mitri shared and articulated in the written word, and why I feel that as a body we should be concerned about that. So I thank you, Senator, for the inquiry.
Thank you, Senator. In response to your inquiry, Mr. Van Mitri, he's a well-respected lawyer in the community. I think he's qualified for the position. But I fully understand, there is a process to this, and I think the Senator from Cape did articulate that earlier. We are 34 individuals in this room, and everyone certainly has the ability to address their concerns, particularly in the nomination process.
Thank you, Senator. Thanks, appreciate Senator. It. Mr. President.
Senator from the first.
Could I inquire the Senator from the third?
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield?
I, in fact, yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, thank you for yielding.
No problem. I'm around. Usually you know that on Thursday afternoons I don't hang around to the end, bitter end here, but I've canceled my appointments. I said publicly about a week ago that this appointment would not be going forward, and I'm prepared to stand and make sure that happens, as I know that you are. I'm hoping that eventually, just by that indication, that we don't have to stand here and talk and berate somebody and talk about their actions and everything for all afternoon. My goal was to not embarrass this person, because I understand he's a well-respected member of the Columbia community, and I understand that. That's why I asked him to go ahead and the governor to withdraw that, but they wanted to take this to the... So what we're going to do here effectively is we're going to kill him for all intents and purposes, I guess forever, if that's what on any board or committee appointment in the future, and if that's what he wanted to do, I guess so be it. But.
Well, and again, Senator, I think it's important that this body take seriously our responsibility to vet
these different individuals. And again, you know, the standard for membership, you know, is often not the same as the standard for leadership. You know, and, you know, I think that we have to apply that, you know, in many of these cases.
You're very philosophical. I was more direct. If this guy's going to say this stuff about us, he shouldn't be expecting us to approve his nomination.
Well, I was going to get there.
And I told her that to his face, and I tried to be as gentle as possible. But as I told them, when he told me that he understood that when he went on the board of University of Missouri, went on the board of curators, he would have to temper his comments. And I told him, you won't have to worry about that, because if it's up to me and several of my members that you've written about, you won't be having to temper your comments because you're not going on the board.
Yeah.
I tried to be as nice as possible and tell him as directly as possible, this isn't going to happen. But I guess, and maybe lawyers are used to this, is don't, you know, I'd rather be lambasted than told I was wrong. So if that's the case, we can go back and we can read different editorials that he, and I'm with you on your comments. I listen to your comments. He has every right to offer his opinion on everything. Every right. And we are given the rights of senators to take exception at those writings and then deny his appointment, and I plan on trying to help you do that. So I hope that if, I don't know what your intent is, but I hope that you talk to some of the colleagues that share our views.
Right.
And we give that as example. If Senator from Boone is not satisfied that four or five of his colleagues are prepared to spend here all afternoon, hopefully then he will withdraw the nomination. If he wants us to demonstrate that, I guess we'll have to.
Right.
Is there anything else?
I just want to go on record that we're
planning on staying here, but I think the Senator from Boone will understand that you're not going to break a filibuster by five senators.
Right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator from the first.
Can I inquire the Senator from Franklin?
Senator from Franklin is not on the floor. Sergeant at Arms, please summons the Senator from Franklin.
For the afternoon, so I'm in no hurry.
Senator from Franklin, Senator from First would like an inquiry. Do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I'd hoped that you were still around and in the building.
Listening intently.
All right, great. I've got a copy of this for you, since you're right next to me. I'll just hand that to you.
Oh, I think I had my own copy.
Do you have
now
a copy?
Now I have two copies.
Well, you don't need multiple copies. We might have other colleagues that...
Okay, why don't I hold on to the copy I already had?
If you turn to the second page, I don't know if you had the opportunity in my inquiry of the Senator from Boone. I shared a little bit from the Missouri Constitution on all Missourians' right to free speech.
Certainly.
And again, I think that that is not only a value that we have, it's a necessity that all Missourians have the opportunity to express themselves, you know, in the written word, in the spoken word. And here in front of us, we have, you know, a letter that Mr. Van Mitri wrote to the Columbia Tribune where he refers to the General Assembly as minions. He actually compares members of the General Assembly to religious zealots like those in Iran. He says that the Missouri Right to Life, a conservative and anti-abortion political action committee, controls the Missouri Republican Party.
That's interesting.
That is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they have a difficult time getting an audience with most of the members of this body. I don't know how that he would think they were in control of the Missouri Republican Party.
Well, I just like you, Senator. I mean, I fully support this gentleman's right to express himself in this way. You know, I mean, I certainly don't agree with what he's written here, but hey, I think everybody knows that, you know, I'm a guy that supports the idea of people saying what's on their mind. I've certainly been guilty of that myself.
No.
I have a feeling that perhaps some of the things that I've said during my 10 years in this legislature may come back to haunt me one day.
Yeah, and you have to take
ownership, don't you?
Absolutely.
You have to take ownership.
Absolutely.
I mean, so, well, I just, I know that we've got all afternoon, but I just want to make sure that you're going to be around, and I'm going to move on here, but, you know.
Well, don't feel like you need to move on. No, here's the thing. Listen, here's the thing. I had an appointment for this evening at 6:30. I have canceled that appointment.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, we all know that on Thursdays it's possible that we're going to get on to other things and be able to do other things perhaps in the evening or whatever.
Right.
But I have physically, literally cleared my schedule.
All right, great.
For
well,
tonight. So
I appreciate that, Senator. I appreciate the inquiry. Mr. President.
Senator from the first.
But I inquire the Senator from the eighth.
Senator from the eighth. Senator from the 8th does yield. You may proceed.
Senator, thank you for yielding. Thank you for being on the floor and being receptive to a little conversation.
Absolutely.
Have you been listening in as far as the comments and concerns that many of our colleagues have about this nominee?
I have a little bit, not as much as others, though, probably. I concur with what the sentiment that's out there, and I believe that freedom of speech is important, but there's also repercussions for those actions.
There can be consequences.
Right.
Right. Right.
Consequences is a better word.
Yeah. So as far as your ability and availability, you know, for the rest of the afternoon, if we've got to come back and have a little conversation, you'll be around?
I will definitely be around if we need to espouse upon what's going on with this appointment, and I think it's the right thing to do is to say no, not at this time. This is not the right guy to have on the board of curators of MU.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from the first.
Could I inquire the Senator from Buchanan, please?
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, thank you for yielding. I just, again, as you've seen, I've had a conversation with a number of our colleagues about my concern for this nominee and their availability to be around and talk about this nomination. So just wanted to see. I appreciate you accepting the inquiry. If I have to inquire of you later in the afternoon, will you be around?
Yes, I will.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Mr. President.
Senator from the first.
Can I inquire of the Senator from Cape?
Senator from Cape Girardeau is not on the floor. Sergeant at Arms, please summons the Senator from Cape Girardeau. Senator from the first.
When we're waiting for the Senator from Cape, could I inquire of the Senator from Howell?
Senator from Howell.
Okay. I didn't see you back there, Senator.
Senator from Wright County, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, how are you?
I was fine.
You were? Well, I appreciate you taking the time to accept my inquiry. You're a big lover of the Constitution, aren't you?
Yes.
A fan of freedom of speech?
I read it quite often.
You're a fan of freedom of speech?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you think
I
about...
I have most of it when I'm not at home.
You what?
I have freedom of speech when I'm not at home.
When you're not at home? Well. Well, I've talked to a number of our colleagues about this nominee. I've got some real problems. I think that what he said about members of this General Assembly is an affront, you know, to all the members and our service. And he has the right to say it. I just believe that you have to be held to a higher standard if you articulate things that might be controversial. And this is almost beyond controversial. So just wanted to see if you'd be around, you know, for, some time this afternoon, just in case we have to, you know, speak into the evening. I'll look forward to...
Okay, and I have a book here. a few years ago, I got to read about the first three chapters, and And there's been a lot of people commenting how much they enjoyed that.
Good.
And that they needed, wanted to know what the rest of the story was, so you're welcome to use my book.
Oh, I thought maybe you were going to read it.
No,
while you gave me a break.
No.
Okay.
So, it's here
right
if you,
there, right?
if you
okay,
need it.
So if I was to pick that up off your desk, that would be okay?
Oh, absolutely.
I bet you're all okay on that?
I think it's chapter 3 you need to start at. I got
pick it up at chapter 3?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Well, I thank you, Senator. Thank you for the inquiry. Mr. President?
Senator from Boone, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the Senator from the First if he'll yield.
The Senator from the First still has the floor, so... Senator from the First,
sure.
Would
I'll
like to...
I'll yield to that inquiry.
Senator from Boone will yield. Proceed.
Senator?
Senator.
This is your inquiry, but I think we're up to 8. And it's my understanding that you've got some more sitting here.
I was going to make some more inquiries as we were going there. Yeah. Yes, Senator.
And as much as I love hearing the stories from the Senator from Howell, I enjoyed his reading selection before, although I did enjoy his Bigfoot stories at about 3 o'clock in the morning one evening more than the book. But, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that you've kind of laid out a roadmap. I don't even think you're finished laying out your roadmap. And I think it's an insurmountable hill. Again, I think Mr. Van Maitre is qualified, but I think that every member of this body certainly has the ability to express their opinion. And I think the roadmap you've laid out shows that expressing that opinion is probably going to take us into the evening. And I think that that's an insurmountable hill. So, Mr. President?
Senator from Boone?
At this point, I withdraw my motion.
That motion will be withdrawn. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees.
Senate is on the order of business of reports from standing committees. We'll begin with the Senator from Howell.
Yes, Mr. President, your Committee on Ways, Means, and Physical Oversight has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight, to which is referred Senate Bill 591, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully, Senator Pergeson, Chairman.
Senator from St. Francis. Thank you, Senator. Please send that forward. When it arrives at the dais, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Financial and Governmental Organizations and Elections, to which is referred Senate Bill 442, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully, Senator Engler, Chairman.
Senator from Saline. Senator from Saline, we are on the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, when it arrives at the dais, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation, to which was referred Senate Bill 564, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 470 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Bill 485 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully, Senator Stouffer, Chairman.
Senator from the Second.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Small Business, Insurance, and Industry has a report.
Thank you. Senator, please send that forward. Appreciate that. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Small Business, Insurance, and Industry, to which was referred Senate Bill 572, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Roop, Chairman.
Senator from Johnson.
Mr. President, I have a report from your hardworking Education Committee.
Thank you, Senator, for your hard work and due diligence. Please send the report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Education, to which was referred Senate Bill 450, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully, Senator Pierce, Chairman.
Senator from the First.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Governmental Accountability has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Governmental Accountability, to which was referred Senate Bill 589, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Lemke, Chairman.
Senator from the 15th District of Missouri.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government, to which was referred Senate Bill 498, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Schmidt, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd District, St. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Please send the report forward. Madam Secretary, when it arrives, please read the report.
That's it. Okay, thank you.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 592, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, so I'll go to the order of business of second bills on second reading.
Seeing no objection, second bills on second reading. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 626.
Senate Bill 626, an act relating to products liability.
What's he got? Judiciary and civil and criminal jurisprudence, Senate Bill 627.
Senate Bill 627, an act relating to waste management services for state agencies.
Commerce and Consumer Protection, Senate Bill 628.
Senate Bill 628, an act relating to a surcharge in certain criminal cases.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 629.
Senate Bill 629, an act relating to the Tobacco Master Settlement Agreement.
Senate Bill 629 will be referred to Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight. Senate Bill 630.
Senate Bill 630, an act relating to the extension of the sunset on the rolling stock tax credit.
Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight, Senate Bill 631.
Senate Bill 631, an act relating to grain purchases.
Agriculture, Senate Bill 632.
Senate Bill 632, an act relating to the establishment of a memorial highway.
Transportation, Senate Bill 633.
Senate Bill 633, an act relating to scrap metal operators.
Transportation, Senate Bill 634.
Senate Bill 634, an act relating to the treatment of eating disorders.
Small business, Senate Bill 635.
Senate Bill 635, an act relating to securities that are pledged for the safekeeping and payment of public funds deposited in banks and financial institutions.
Financial and governmental organizations, Senate Bill 636.
Senate Bill 636, an act relating to qualified spousal trusts.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 637.
Senate Bill 637, an act relating to firearms safety training requirements for concealed carry endorsements.
Judiciary. Senate Bill 638.
Senate Bill 638, an act relating to taxation.
Ways and Means. Senate Bill 639.
Senate Bill 639, an act relating to breastfeeding.
Health and Mental Health. Senate Bill 640.
Senate Bill 640, an act relating to Certificate of Need.
Health and Mental Health. Senate Bill 641.
Senate Bill 641, an act relating to vision examinations for school children.
Education. Senate Bill 642.
Senate Bill 642, an act relating to the endangerment of emergency workers.
Transportation, Senate Bill 643.
Senate Bill 643, an act relating to school attendance.
Education, Senate Bill 644.
Senate Bill 644, an act relating to insurance reimbursement for physical therapist services.
Small business and insurance, Senate Bill 645.
Senate Bill 645, an act relating to environmental permits.
Commerce, Senate Bill 646.
Senate Bill 646, an act relating to field tests for controlled substances.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 647.
Senate Bill 647, an act relating to the funding of the Capitol Complex Revitalization Project.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 648.
Senate Bill 648, an act relating to the issuance of temporary driver instruction permits.
Transportation, Senate Bill 649.
Senate Bill 649, an act relating to vision examinations for school children.
Health and Mental Health, Senate Bill 650.
Senate Bill 650, an act relating to the composition of certain boards, commissions, or committees.
Governmental Accountability, Senate Bill 651.
Senate Bill 651, an act relating to the licensing of home inspectors.
Financial and Governmental Organizations, Senate Bill 652.
Senate Bill 652, an act relating to paid members of any fire department or fire district.
Jobs and Economic Development, Senate Bill 653.
Senate Bill 653, an act relating to the designation of a memorial highway.
Transportation, Senate Bill 654.
Senate Bill 654, an act relating to teacher evaluation.
Education, Senate Bill 655.
Senate Bill 655, an act relating to the Higher Education Capital Fund.
Appropriations, Senate Bill 656.
Senate Bill 656, an act relating to the use of public roads by motor vehicles.
Transportation, Senate Bill 657.
Senate Bill 657, an act relating to the conscience rights of all individuals who provide medical services.
Small business, Senate Bill 658.
Senate Bill 658, an act relating to abortion-inducing drug safety.
Health and Mental Health, Senate Bill 659.
Senate Bill 659, an act relating to property tax bills.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 660.
Senate Bill 660, an act relating to the Missouri Employees Mutual Insurance Company.
Small business, Senate Bill 661.
Senate Bill 661, an act relating to the taxation of business income.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 662.
Senate Bill 662, an act relating to taxation.
Jobs, Senate Bill 663.
Senate Bill 663, an act relating to the official breweries of the state of Missouri.
Commerce, Senate Bill 664.
Senate Bill 664, an act relating to the Missouri Indoor Clean Air Act.
Commerce, Senate Bill 665.
Senate Bill 665, an act to authorize the conveyance of property owned by the state to the State Highways and Transportation Commission.
Transportation, Senate Bill 666.
Senate Bill 666, an act relating to private possession of non-human primates.
Agriculture, Senate Bill 667.
Senate Bill 667, an act relating to a peer review process for licensed architects, landscape architects, land surveyors, and engineers.
Finance and Governmental Organizations, Senate Bill 668.
Senate Bill 668, an act relating to property tax bills of certain counties.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 669.
Senate Bill 669, an act relating to retirement plans.
Veterans Affairs, Senate Bill 670.
Senate Bill 670, an act relating to real estate foreclosure.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 671.
Senate Bill 671, an act relating to certain public offices that have statutory bond requirements.
General Law, Senate Bill 672.
Senate Bill 672, an act relating to current and former military personnel.
Veterans Affairs, Senate Bill 673.
Senate Bill 673, an act relating to temporary motorcycle instruction permits.
Transportation, Senate Bill 674.
Senate Bill 674, an act relating to health insurance.
Health and mental health, Senate Bill 675.
Senate Bill 675, an act relating to the Missouri Property Tax Credit.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 676.
Senate Bill 676, an act relating to the laws of other countries.
General laws, Senate Bill 677.
Senate Bill 677, an act relating to school accreditation.
Education, Senate Bill 678.
Senate Bill 678, an act relating to serious reportable events in health care.
Health and mental health, Senate Bill 679.
Senate Bill 679, an act relating to advanced practice registered nurses.
Financial and governmental organizations, Senate Bill 680.
Senate Bill 680, an act relating to the ordinances adopted by political subdivisions regulating firearms.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 681.
Senate Bill 681, an act relating to the Board of Regents of Northwest Missouri State University.
Education, Senate Bill 682.
Senate Bill 682, an act relating to spinal injections.
Health and mental health, Senate Bill 683.
Senate Bill 683, an act relating to property exempt from attachment or execution.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 684.
Senate Bill 684, an act relating to a moratorium on the authorization of certain tax credits.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 685.
Senate Bill 685, an act relating to ex parte communications with the Public Service Commission.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 686.
Senate Bill 686, an act relating to the resale or lease of returned electronic devices or appliances.
Commerce, Senate Bill 687.
Senate Bill 687, an act relating to insurance coverage for physical therapy services.
Small business, Senate Bill 688.
Senate Bill 688, an act relating to political subdivisions.
Jobs and economic development, Senate Bill 689.
Senate Bill 689, an act relating to crimes against certain types of vulnerable persons.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 690.
Senate Bill 690, an act relating to surplus highway patrol property.
General laws, Senate Bill 691.
Senate Bill 691, an act relating to economic incentives for certain automotive suppliers.
Jobs and economic development, Senate Bill 692.
Senate Bill 692, an act relating to procedures for decreasing county budgets.
Jobs and economic development, Senate Bill 693.
Senate Bill 693, an act relating to the publication of calendars by state agencies.
Government accountability, Senate Bill 694.
Senate Bill 694, an act relating to the preferential use of the Capitol complex by private entities.
Finance and governmental org, Senate Bill 695.
Senate Bill 695, an act relating to suspected abuse of farm animals.
Agriculture, Senate Bill 696.
Senate Bill 696, an act relating to the Motor Vehicle Financial Responsibility Law.
Small business, Senate Bill 697.
Senate Bill 697, an act relating to fraudulent insurance acts.
Small business, Senate Bill 698.
Senate Bill 698, an act relating to construction contract bidding standards for political subdivisions.
General laws, Senate Bill 699.
Senate Bill 699, an act relating to criminal offenders under the supervision of the Department of Corrections.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 700.
Senate Bill 700, an act relating to appeal procedures for non-merit employees.
Financial and governmental organizations, Senate Bill 701.
Senate Bill 701, an act relating to operating a motor vehicle with dyed motor fuel.
Transportation, Senate Bill 702.
Senate Bill 702, an act relating to members of the military and their families.
Veterans Affairs, Senate Bill 703.
Senate Bill 703, an act relating to Lottery Commission contracting requirements.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 704.
Senate Bill 704, an act relating to condemnation proceedings.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 705.
Senate Bill 705, an act relating to breast cancer awareness.
Transportation, Senate Bill 706.
Senate Bill... Did he say 706? I don't have a 706. No 706. Senate Bill 706, an act relating to school operations.
General laws, Senate Bill 707.
Senate Bill 707, an act relating to diagnostic radiology testing.
General laws, Senate Bill 708.
Senate Bill 708, an act relating to tax credits for renovations for disability access.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 709.
Senate Bill 709, an act relating to disqualifying certain persons receiving public assistance from engaging in gaming activities.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 710.
Okay, 710 doesn't have a title. 710. Senate Bill 710, an act relating to a prescription drug monitoring program.
Financial and Governmental Organizations, Senate Bill 711.
Senate Bill 711, an act relating to the prohibition of racial considerations in adoption proceedings.
Health and Mental Health, Senate Bill 712.
Senate Bill 712, an act relating to eligibility for the Special Needs Adoption Tax Credit.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 713.
Senate Bill 713, an act relating to adoption records.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 714.
Senate Bill 714, an act relating to the use of recreational off-highway vehicles.
Transportation, Senate Bill 715.
Senate Bill 715, an act relating to the state militia.
Veterans Affairs, Senate Bill 716.
Senate Bill 716, an act relating to health insurance.
Health and Mental Health, Senate Bill 717.
Senate Bill 717, an act relating to distracted driving.
Transportation, Senate Bill 718.
Senate Bill 718, an act relating to the Employment Disqualification Registry.
Health and Mental Health, Senate Bill 719.
Senate Bill 719, an act relating to the issuance of temporary building safety identification cards to non-residents.
Transportation, Senate Bill 720.
Senate Bill 720, an act relating to the procedure for change of venue in counties with average yearly inmate populations in excess of 1,000 inmates.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 721.
Senate Bill 721, an act relating to tax increment financing in certain counties.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 722.
Senate Bill 722, an act relating to restricting public contracts with entities that invest in the energy sector in Iran.
Financial and Governmental Organizations, Senate Bill 723.
Senate Bill 723, an act relating to property tax assessment.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 724.
Senate Bill 724, an act relating to ensuring that recipients of tax credits pay taxes owed.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 725.
Senate Bill 725, an act relating to ensuring that developers pay taxes owed.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 726.
Senate Bill 726, an act relating to residential mortgage loan brokers.
Financial and Governmental Organizations, Senate Bill 727.
Senate Bill 727, an act relating to child care subsidies.
Health and Mental Health, Senate Bill 728.
Senate Bill 728, an act relating to veterans.
Veterans Affairs, Senate Bill 729.
Senate Bill 729, an act relating to county purchases.
Jobs and Economic Development, Senate Bill 730.
Senate Bill 730, an act relating to county ordinances establishing minimum standards for residential occupancy.
Jobs and Economic Development, Senate Bill 731.
Senate Bill 731, an act relating to child custody and visitation for military personnel.
Veterans, Senate Bill 732.
Senate Bill 732, an act relating to the crime of trafficking drugs.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 733.
Senate Bill 733, an act relating to encouraging investment in science and technology.
Jobs and Economic Development, Senate Bill 734.
Senate Bill 734, an act relating to the Missouri Works Training Program.
Jobs and Economic Development, Senate Bill 735.
Senate Bill 735, an act relating to virtual schools.
Education, Senate Bill 736.
Senate Bill 736, an act relating to the use of the special road and bridge tax in certain counties.
Jobs and Economic Development, Senate Bill 737.
Senate Bill 737, an act relating to the reporting of data and scores of neglected children and delinquent children.
Education, Senate Joint Resolution 43.
Senate Joint Resolution 43, an act relating to term limits.
General Laws, Senate Joint Resolution 44.
Senate Joint Resolution 44, a joint resolution relating to the legislative sessions of General Assembly.
Ways and Means, Senate Joint Resolution 45.
Senate Joint Resolution 45, a joint resolution relating to state sovereignty.
General Laws, Senate Joint Resolution 46.
Senate Joint Resolution 46, a joint resolution relating to the Common Sense Obligation to Provide Accountability and Spending Stabilization Act.
Ways and Means, Senate Joint Resolution 47.
Senate Joint Resolution 47, a joint resolution relating to the prohibition of public aid for religious purposes and institutions.
General Laws, Senate Joint Resolution 48.
Senate Joint Resolution 48, a joint resolution relating to holding office as a member of the General Assembly after serving on an apportionment commission.
Governmental accountability.
Well done.
Mr. President.
Senator from Stoddard.
Which bill is this? Mr. President, would you please refer Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 592 with the Senate Substitute to Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight?
That bill will be so referred. the junior senator from St. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, I'll go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until Monday, February 6th, 4 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are adjourned until Monday, February 6th at 4 p.m. Have a safe trip home.